Hello, Governor Lamont.
Hey, guys.
All right, so I'm going to start out with a very important question. I just want to let you know that Bob was on yesterday. He says hi, by the way.
Hey, Bob.
And I asked him the very same question right out of the box. Favorite candy?
Pez.
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 Wow.
Oh, I see.
I know it's not a traditional Halloween candy, but I'm a Connecticut guy, and I always keep it in the glove compartment.
Do you really?
Wow.
Yep.
I want to fact check this right now. You have Pez in your glove compartment.
What flavor?
What dispenser do you have?
You know, you want to know something interesting? They don't allow the presidential dispensers anymore. Remember, they have every president up there, then it stopped under Trump just because it was just everybody was getting edged up in the store.
Yeah.
So they don't do the presidential anymore.
Wow. Is there one for the governor?
Thank you, lucky stars. There is not.
Because I want one.
Right? He's like, oh, no, you're not getting one.
All right, Pez is interesting. But really, let's just talk about this seriously. I want to pin you down on an answer here.
Halloween candy.
If I only get one answer out of you, this is going to be the one. Like, if there's candy all over the table, what are you going for?
I like the corn candy. I like jelly beans. And I like Pez.
Oh, jelly beans.
I say a non-chocolate person.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I love jelly beans, too, so.
All right. So we got you down on
especially the licorice jelly beans.
You lost me!
AJ's not a fan.
Oh, God.
He knew how to get you, AJ.
Oh, I just stopped using it to get rid of rats.
So yesterday I played Bob one of your commercials for him. Right now I'd like to play you one of his, and we'll stop and you could comment.
What fun.
Promise to cut property taxes by $700 a year. Instead, Connecticut property taxes have gone up. They are now this.
Property taxes, you said you were going to cut them, and they went up.
Yeah, we put forward about $300 million in property tax cuts for homes in terms of a credit as well as cars. And alongside of that, we also did the earned income tax credit. So that means people earning less than about $60,000 have no income tax liability. So we did make significant property tax cuts. But you're right. If your Maserati and Madison doubled in value in the last couple of years, you may not get the benefit of that. But overall, there is a few hundred million dollar cut.
Well, not just Maserati owners, people who are just regular people and have cars, that went up. But the property tax,
we did a $300 rebate, one from one to $300, and extended that to virtually everybody. It used to be just for seniors. So you're right, though. Some places property, what you're charging the municipality went up, some went down, but we did offer, a significant rebate. And it's something I'm going to keep doing, by the way. Just because, Chaz, I mean, the property tax is probably our most onerous tax. It's a tax on everybody in good times and bad. We also eliminated the income tax for pensions and 401ks just to make it easier for folks on fixed incomes to stay in their homes.
Yeah, you want people to stay here. Now, I know someone who's elderly. Her property tax in Trumbull went from $6,000 to $8,000. So, like, when she hears that commercial, she's not like, well, I got that $300.
Right.
That's a fair point, but that means probably somebody else in Trumbull, their taxes went down a lot because, we give them a lot of support to Trumbull. They don't need to raise any additional revenues, but there is a mix in the community between some going up and some going down. But most importantly, they did get that rebate.
Yeah, I always wondered how you would say that you're going to lower property tax when really it's more of a town thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the mayors, they assess, they come up with a mill rate. Most mill rates actually went down over the last couple of years just because the grand list, the value of homes and things went up. But again, what you individually pay could change depending on your circumstances.
All right, let's play another clip from this commercial.
Under Lamont, utility bills have skyrocketed. They're now the highest in the country.
Yeah, that's BS. We have, right now, we have the lowest.
Governor? What does BS stand for?
Bologna sandwiches.
It stands for bologna.
That's bologna sandwiches.
It involves cows. But we have the lowest, you know, utility rates in the, at least in the Northeast, or at least New England. You know, we've done a couple, you know, problem is we're at the end of the line. So you're right. Relatively speaking, our rates are high compared to Texas and Wyoming. I can't deny that. But we are the lowest in New England, in part because we doubled down on Millstone, which is our nuclear power. We've got that locked in at a very good price, and that means you're getting, I don't know, about $8 or $9 credit per month on your electric bill. So we are beginning to make some progress there. We have a way to go.
Yeah, it feels like I am sure everything you're saying is true, but like when I look at my bills, it doesn't jive with what I'm hearing. Like my utility rates went way up. And my property taxes went up.
Right.
So I think that people, like we posted something on Facebook and it said, hey, if you have a question for the governor, please ask it, but be nice.
No, that's pretty true. Look, let's face it. The last couple of bills, we had a very hot summer. A lot of people were, you know, doing air conditioning. So that raised things a lot. I'm worried. I'm worried about this winter. I'm worried about Saudis. I'm worried about oil. I'm worried about, you know, home heating oil. So I'm not saying we're out of the woods. I'm saying we're better prepared than most of our neighboring states. Look, they doubled in Massachusetts. They doubled almost in New Hampshire. Here in Connecticut, it's a lot less than what you see in our neighboring states. But, you know, that means I'm the tallest guy in the pygmy colony. We still can do better.
It's a good analogy. It's a good analogy. It's got a visual.
I'm getting lots of sound bites from the governor here.
It's got a visual.
Can you pledge no new taxes, no increases in a second term?
I'll pledge what I did this time. First governor in 35 years not to raise the income tax. And now I put forward, you know, probably the biggest middle class tax cut in history. I hate to make airtight pledges. I have no idea what the markets, you know, the economy is going to look like. It's getting very, you know, dicey out there, especially coming out of Ukraine, especially coming out of oil. But I believe that we ought to hold the line on taxes and do everything we can to give people confidence. That's why I have the rainy day fund. You know, rather than gut that and spend it all down, I've got that. So in case we have this recession, which may be a probability at this point, I don't have to cut education, and I don't have to raise taxes. That's the whole purpose of the rainy day fund.
Okay, so if things go south, you're saying you will use the rainy day fund for that. You won't come after.
That's what it's for.
Okay.
Yep, you got it.
All right. This budget surplus that we're hearing about, a lot of folks say, well, that's all federal money. Was that COVID money, infrastructure? Where did the budget surplus come from?
Budget surplus came from Connecticut. That is not federal money, period. So what, you know, we've done, somebody keeps saying a $6 billion surplus. Well, four and a half of that we just deposited into our state pensions, something that everybody's been complaining about for a long time because nobody ever paid into the state pensions. They said, put it on the credit card. Somebody else will pay for it later. Well, we're doing it right now, and it's going to save us taxpayers about $450 million a year for the next 25 years. The other part of it is, you know, we're right now, I have no idea what the budget's going to look like at the end of this fiscal year. We got some headwinds, but there may be a surplus again, you know, which is amazing if that's true, given given the nature of what's going on in the economy around the world. But so, I wouldn't count on it. I surely wouldn't spend it now. No way.
A surplus. So we did get COVID money, right? And we did get infrastructure money. And does that add into this surplus that we have?
COVID money from both Trump and Biden. Probably the bulk of that was unemployment, right? They trued up or gave people more unemployment back when everybody was so many people were not working. And then you're right. We got infrastructure money as well. That doesn't balance the budget, but that does allow us to speed up your commute, rail, car, whatever.
So that doesn't, when you say we have a budget surplus, that doesn't work into it. The COVID money, the infrastructure money, that's not part of this surplus.
Exactly.
Okay. And then
it allows
budget,
us to do some extra things and allowed us to do the unemployment, like I said.
Does the budget surplus mean we are on paper making more money than we are spending?
I think that's just what it means. But be careful, and but this is now, what every but if I just every previous governor, they, we have very volatile. Sometimes the revenues are very strong and Wall Street's booming, and then oh my God, what happened? The economy's worse than I thought, and you end up in a fiscal crisis. And we've done that boom and bust thing, Chaz, for about 30 years. That's why the rainy day fund gives us, you know, it's good to have a little dry powder, especially going into this season.
Oh, no doubt. I love having money in the bank. You know, you want
to have some.
So we have a budget surplus, but that is the budget. Is the state in debt?
Oh, we have, you know, pension liabilities that have, you know, been racked up over the last 30, 40, 50 years, you know. Thanks to governors on both sides of the aisle, to tell you the truth. We also bond to do things like transportation. So, yeah, we have outstanding debt, but we have tried to hold the line on that anyway. It's been accelerating a lot over the last 10 or 15 years, and that's why we went on a debt diet. I just wanted to try and do a better job of holding the line, which means our fixed costs have not gone up, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, so that when you say, I'm just trying to explain this to me so I understand it. The budget, when you say surplus, that means, let's just say we spend $60,000 a year.
Okay.
And we make $70,000 a year. That would be a $10,000 surplus per year.
Right.
But our debt could be $1 million.
Well,
so when you say budget surplus, it doesn't mean like, hey, everything's good. We got our bills paid. We're making money. It just means we're making more money than we're spending.
That's exactly right. The surplus is in for the current budget, and we've had you know, a balanced budget and now a surplus for 4 years in a row. That doesn't happen every day. But again, I got a big unfunded pension liability. That was $45 million. We've taken that down to under 40, but we still have a way to go there.
Governor Lamont is on. If oil prices go up, which there's some news that they could, and we're entering winter now, will you decrease the gas tax, or what will you do to help folks?
Yeah, the Saudis and the Russians are playing politics here in October, and I do worry that you'll see that reflected in higher you know, oil prices. I think you see that already. I mean, the good news is, you know, price of the pump has gone down, you know, about a buck over the last 6 months. But you surely cannot count on that for the next 6 months. And, yeah, we were the, you know, third state in the country to have a 25-cent, you know, cut in our gasoline tax. This is never popular, but I also have to pay the bills. And I have to make sure we have enough money to continue paving and fixing our rail and fixing our roads. So we're taking a hard look at that to see what we can continue to afford going forward, given where gas prices are. One thing I love, Chaz, is we have free bus service. We started doing that during COVID. We've kept it going at least through December 1st. And I think that gets a few cars off the road, makes it a little cheaper for that single mom, you know, in New Haven to get groceries when she needs to.
Got a couple more, then I'll let you go here. California emissions. Someone was saying our state's locked into doing whatever they do. They had something where they're going to try to go just completely electric by, I don't know, whatever year. Are we going to do that?
Well, first of all, we're not locked into doing anything, so I don't know where that comes from. But California did say, look, by 2035, was that 13, 12 years away, they want to have an no more sales of gas-powered cars in California. And a number of other states are doing that in the Northwest. I talked to Ford. I said, is this something that's unrealistic and will, you know, screw the consumer? And they said, we're headed that direction anyway. So I appreciate the clarity that's coming out of you know, that. So we'll take a look at it. No decisions have been made as yet.
Okay. I think it was House Minority Leader Vince Calderon.
Candelora, yes.
Candelora said that we are locked into whatever they do, so we have to follow them. There's no law on the books like that?
No.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. How do you feel about the polls now? It seems like you're, according to most polls, in the lead.
I hope the polls reflect the fact that people are feeling a little more optimistic about the state. You know, I don't care about it from my horse race point of view that much, but, you know, compared to, you know, boom and bust and ongoing deficits as far as the eye could see 4 years ago, now we're, you know, arguing about how to what we do with a surplus. I mean, that's a very different place. You know, we used to, you know, have big unemployment and the companies leaving the state. Now we have 100,000 jobs. I've got to train people to fill right here, right now, and the companies are coming into the state. So we got a long way to go. I'm not putting up the mission accomplished banner, but I think that's what the polls reflect.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if I'm you and the polls are saying I'm X amount of points ahead, if I'm like, yeah, that might discourage my people from going out because they think I'm just going to win, so they don't need to go out.
Yeah.
You know, or does that rally the other guys? Because it's like, yeah, we got to go out.
Yeah, crunch
time. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't like complacency, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But fortunately, Bob is running around telling everybody the polls are not true and it's a horse race. So maybe that gets my guys energized, too.
Right. If regardless of what happens in terms of the election, will you agree to come in the show sometime after the election and have a beer with Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Very good.
I got to buy beer.
All right. We'll get a local brewery to come
okay,
by.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know any good ones?
I got one.
I don't know. Beer's at 8 a.m. That's about 20 minutes earlier than I usually start.
That's great. And just for the record, you know, since Governor Rell, every Monday before the election, we've had the two top candidates in the studio having a debate. Bob's coming in, and you're more than welcome to come in and join him.
Let me take that under consideration, Jazz.
Yeah. Even if you just want to call in, that's fine, too.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Governor Lamont,
good
appreciate
to talk
you.
Again. It was
thank
a good
you.
Summer for music. I didn't get quite as much as I wanted, but that summer could be great. I mean, you know, we got Bruce Springsteen already booked, as you know, coming, I think, in February or March, and Rolling Stones and Black Eyed Peas and Queen, they've been doing Europe, I think, this summer. So maybe Jimmy can get them coming to Connecticut next year.
Hold on. Is Jimmy there? Jimmy, are you there?
I'm here.
Can you hear the governor?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sure.
Hey, Jimmy didn't know you were there.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm next. I'm on deck.
He's in the on-deck circle.
He's in the waiting room.
The governor and I went to Billy Joel together in Greenwich.
That was a great concert, wasn't it?
Yes,
that guy hasn't missed a note. He's really good.
He still has that great voice. It's 73. It's pretty remarkable.
Nice.
Him and Bruce,
yeah,
I think are the two acts that just are they're the greatest live performers now.
Yep.
As good or better than they ever were.
Right.
Yes.
Let's see if we can get a couple of rock stars under the age of 75 into the state next summer. What do you think?
You know what? We'll give it a try, but I love my rock stars that are my age.
Governor Lamont, thank you for coming on.